to church on Easter Sunday than any other day of the year. And the result, of course, is there's a larger than usual crowd. And this is true of every church. Now, this can be explained in any number of ways. You could say, well, that's just my family's tradition, you know? You go to church, and then you come home, and you have your baked ham, or your lamb, or whatever. But I am convinced that there's a much deeper reason than just that kind of stuff. In fact, it seems that Easter has an inescapable grip on our hearts. And I would like to examine that grip. Where does it come from? How can we explain this strange grasp that Easter has upon our hearts? Well, for one thing, I suspect it's rooted in the temporary nature of our lives. It is a sobering but true fact that nothing human lasts very long. When we pause and think about life, this strange pageant of passing events presents itself. It's as if we seem to be here today and gone tomorrow. And we can look back across hundreds of generations that have suffered the same fate. People have populated this planet by the millions. No, not by the billions. But like snowflakes under a noonday sun, they have all melted away. Civilizations have risen and fallen. Wealth has been accumulated and lost. Empires have ruled and then faded. So that in our more reflective moments, we ask ourselves, is there anything that lasts? Does death have the final word on everything? Can it be that in this vast, amazing universe, nothing lasts? Our minds revolt against that thought. The very thought seems to be utterly irrational. You know, it's as if we have deep within us a profound conviction that something ought to last. And we do have evidence that some things do last. Now, consider, for example, something so seemingly ordinary as music. Some of it doesn't last more than a week or two. And for a brief time, it may be wildly popular. And then a short while later, it's gone. And it's forgotten. But some great music has an enduring quality. Generation after generation keeps coming back to it. Well, ideas are just the same. Some of them vanish like smoke in the wind. They are the passing opinions of the hour. But other ideas span the centuries. Age after age, they command the attention of thoughtful minds. In 1993, in a compound outside of Waco, Texas, there was a young man who claimed to be the Messiah. His name was David Koresh. Now, a few people believed him. They became his followers and gave complete control of their lives over to him. Now, that might seem laughable, but his operation was very, very dangerous. And I think you all know the story. The compound was bristling with lethal weapons. Four law enforcement officials were shot to death. And in the end, he burned down the whole compound, killing himself and just about everybody else. That man was more than willing to sacrifice himself and his followers for his cause. And he made headlines all over the world. But you know, I bet you another 30 or 40 years from now, you would have to dig into the archives of some newspaper to find the name David Koresh. In another time and place, another young man appeared who was also rumored to be the Messiah. A few people believed in him and became his followers. They gave him complete control over their lives. But he had no weapons except truth and love. He taught his disciples to refuse violence and to overcome evil with good. And at the end, he sacrificed himself for his cause.
Now think of this. Today,
20 centuries later, his name is known all over the world. His teachings command the attention and respect of countless scholars. Some ideas perish, other ideas endure. And I think this is part of the reason that Easter has such a hold on our hearts. Another part of that hold, I think, is our love for other people. Why did the two Marys and Salome go to that tomb at daybreak? Well, the Gospels tell us that they came to anoint Jesus' body with spices. Now, why would they bother to do that? What good would that do? As a matter of fact, it would have been dangerous. Well, quite clearly, those three women were not thinking in terms of practicalities and common sense. They were motivated by love. And even though Jesus was dead and gone, they could not stop loving him. They could not be indifferent to what happened to his body. These same thoughts and feelings lie at the very heart of our Easter faith. We do not stop loving people simply because they die. And our concern goes much deeper than just what happens to their physical bodies. What about the personalities that once lived in those bodies? Have they simply just ceased to exist? Are priceless souls cast like rubbish into the void? Love revolts at that thought. That's totally irrational. And our Easter faith is deeply rooted in that. Those first followers of Jesus did not make up a story to take the sting out of their own dying. Now, no doubt they cared about that. They were as human just as we are. But that was not the preeminent thought in their mind. Their first thoughts were of Jesus. Here was a man of such supreme quality that he simply should not die. And yet, they had seen him die. They knew the place where he was buried. The whole thing made no sense at all. It not only broke their hearts, it destroyed all of their hopes. It showed that the universe is just totally irrational. And then, as the witness has come down to us through 20 centuries, on the third day, they discovered that he was alive again. This time, he was alive forever. The resurrection was an answer to selfish fears. It was not selfish fears that motivated these disciples. It was unselfish love. That gallant spirit, which should not die, had not died. Death had no dominion over him. And then life made sense again, and hope returned. Is it any wonder that Easter has such a hold on our hearts?